Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, this is Luke introducing a very special live episode of Educating Josh recorded in front of our fabulous audience at Summer in the City.
And like most live podcasts, the audio isn't great, so apologies about that. But don't worry, we will be back in our regular studio next week for a normal episode of the podcast. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, James O'Neill, Jake Edwards, and I, Luke Cutforth, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week in front of our first ever live audience at Summer in the City!
Yeah. Yes!
Our wonderful Josh Winslade will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at Educating Josh. Make sure you stick around to the end for a quick fire question round from our live audience at Summer in the City! Yay! Don't forget to follow us at Educating Josh on all socials, subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. Guys, how are you feeling about our first live show?
Got so good at that.
Thank you. Josh, are you terrified?
I'm absolutely petrified.
My manager,
very, very nervous.
Came up to me yesterday and went, just so you know, I've organised some security in case Josh is getting beaten up at the end of the show.
He will need it.
Okay, well, I think we'll move on to the first story of the week, and that is Jake's story.
Thanks for putting me first.
You're so welcome. No pressure.
So, my headline is Lindsay Lohan says women who share the hashtag MeToo stories look weak. The three things you need to know are that Lindsay Lohan has said she doesn't agree with Hollywood's fight against sexual misconduct in a new interview with The Times. She has said she is very supportive of women, but believes that by women speaking against all these things, it makes them look weak when they are actually very strong women. Lohan previously defended Harvey Weinstein in an Instagram video. She said she feels bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on. He never harmed me or did anything to me.
The Sounds question like Lindsay's is, trying to get some more work.
Mm-hmm. The question is, do women who share hashtag MeToo stories look weak?
Before we go to Josh's 20 seconds, I'd like to get a general idea from the audience.
Oh no, don't do that.
So audience, make a noise that sums up your feelings on this story. Do Me Too stories make women look weak? 20 seconds, Josh, go!
I don't think they make women look weak. I completely disagree with Lindsay Lohan, I think. For this one, I'm not gonna be too controversial.
Whoa!
controversial today.
But I do think there is a bit of a witch hunt going on, and I think that it's down to I think things need to be clarified from a legal point of view, because like we're kind of sat here and we know inside what's right, what's okay, what isn't right. But when you get to courts and when it's okay to prosecute someone, it's not really defined what's okay and what isn't. And I think it's up to the government, it's up to the legal process to now start to put into place things that make it a lot easier to say when someone's taken it too far and when someone hasn't.
Well, you've taken it too far because you had 20 seconds. Now, Jake, what do you think about that response?
This is a really hard story to pin down because she actually says a lot of things in the article that I agreed with.
Okay.
In the sense that like the process of people sharing these stories, a lot of people are, as she said, unknown.
Yeah, the witch hunt.
And they're doing it like for attention. They're coming out with these stories and making them up to just try and like boost their own career. And I think I kind of agreed with that in the way that there are so many stories coming out.
I think those stories are very easy to pull apart, though. It's very easy to know when someone's making something up and when they're not, when something actually has happened. So many people came out against Harvey Weinstein that I don't think it's a question of whether he was inappropriate or not. And I think by her being someone that is looked up to and someone that works in that industry saying she feels sorry for him, again, makes people feel like they can't talk out, surely.
Sure, yeah, I agree. James, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Now, my sort of counterpoint to this, though, is that I was reading somewhere about how you train children. By the way, this is not something about me, suddenly I'm going to be a father.
Spray them in the face with water when they're bad.
When I say train children, what I mean is raise children. They're not dogs.
It's the same thing.
But what I mean is, it's about teaching children the concept of no. And in what I was reading, it was talking about how in order to say no, because people on some level are inherently selfish, on some levels they're selfish.
I would agree on most levels.
No is essentially me saying, if you carry on doing this thing you're going to do, something else will happen to you which you don't like. There will be consequences, right? And now we have sort of, in the last 20 years, especially within the entertainment industry, we have a situation where people who say no to things like sexual advances, often their perpetrator doesn't have consequences. There is nothing. And so this Me Too movement is basically saying, if I can't destroy you legally, I'll destroy you socially. Mm-hmm. And it's giving back power to the word no.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it makes people look weak. Maybe on the individual level, it made people look weak in the past because they didn't fight when they could, but they didn't have the strength to in the past. And now, as a movement, as a collective, everyone is saying no has a power again.
But I don't. Where's weak?
I think she's looking at individual. I think she's looking at like individual cases and going, oh, now I see that person as weaker than I thought they were. But as a collective, absolutely. Like it's women not taking people's shit anymore.
Taking that shit.
But where's the word weak come from? How does it make them look weak?
I think the thing that she actually said was that they are strong women. And by sharing this story in this way, trying to destroy somebody socially is the weak thing about it. Like, the first port of call should have been reporting it legally.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're using social outrage instead of being a strong person themselves on an individual level.
But why not? If that garners the biggest response, why not do it socially instead of through...
Yeah.
If the law isn't doing... I mean, how messed up is the law at the moment in terms of sentences and what's prosecuted and what isn't? Like, the law needs to fix itself. If socially gets a bigger response, do it socially. Screw the guy. He's out of order.
The legal system's not working, is it? Because women aren't being believed as much as they should be.
No, there is, however, what you were saying earlier on in the show, Josh, or maybe it was Jake, actually. I forget. My brain doesn't really work.
Both Jakes.
One of you was saying, sometimes you do have to treat these things with a certain amount of skepticism, and you can't just believe it straight away. A due process exists for a reason.
And that's the problem with doing it online, because everyone is innocent
instantly believed
guilty.
But I think the weird thing here is that if you make an allegation to the police, they're going to follow through and make sure you're telling the truth.
Yes,
whereas
exactly.
Online, it's more of just like everybody does their own little
people
research.
People do follow
their own
the hype a little bit.
Yeah.
And a lot of people see it and go, oh my God, this person's done this. I'm going to share this. My friends are going to want to hear this. And then it becomes a bigger and bigger thing instead of how it's done legally, which is, okay, we need to prove that this person's done this before we start making any accusations, because it's defamation otherwise.
And it reminds me of a quote I saw on Twitter a while back where somebody had said something along the lines of, I don't care if a few innocent men go down in the war towards equality. And that seems to be sort of counterproductive to me, because
definitely
you cannot go for the greater good, in my opinion, and sacrifice innocent individual people.
Yeah, because the thing is, this is a feminist movement, and the feminist movement is for gender equality. It's not for women being superior.
The true feminist movement is for gender equality.
Yeah, it's for equality. Yeah. So if you're saying, I don't care if you're innocent, you need to sacrifice yourself for the greater good of women, that's not really, in my opinion, what feminism is about. It's about everybody having
a
gender equality.
I'd agree with that completely. But to bring it back to a YouTube audience, why haven't any of the YouTubers who went too far with people.
Sure.
Why has nothing happened legally?
Because they
so
have
their,
to be
their
treated
careers
like,
have kind of disappeared. Well, some of their careers haven't disappeared. They still have followings. They still have social media outlets. They still, I don't know. I
but
find it really wrong.
That's something you can't control, though. You can't control
but
people.
But why has
someone
nothing
regardless?
Happened in the law? If all this outrage happened, so much of it was proven, so many people came forward on the YouTube platform, yet nothing's happened legally.
I mean,
no one's been arrested, no one's been charged.
There could be legal stuff going on behind the scenes that they're not telling us about, and it's more just like they're investigating it and then dismissing it, and nothing's actually happening.
So how is that promoting the idea of coming forward? Like, these people that these YouTubers affected would have been terrified. They see the audience, they see the people that support these big YouTubers, and they've had the strength to come forward and say something, yeah, it's gone viral online and people have talked about it and you guys amazingly have held these people to account, but the law hasn't. Like, what's that about? That's disgusting.
In most cases, I think it's because the fact that they're YouTubers to the law is irrelevant.
Yeah.
And the kind of things they are doing, while horrible, obviously, are indicative of things that happen all over society. And so they can't be held separate. They can have their platforms torn down, and rightfully so. But the idea of, like, young people getting groomed, or the idea of, like, manipulating people, happens all the time. And the fact that they're YouTubers to the law is irrelevant.
I'm not talking about, like, the cases on YouTube where it's been, well, you know, we went back, things got a bit frisky, I wasn't feeling comfortable, but it still happened. Because I think there's a bit of a weird line there. You've got to kind of figure that out.
Ooh.
I'm talking about...
That's like a question of the, like, differences in consent.
Yes.
Because there's, like, enthusiastic consent, verbal consent.
And not speaking out and not making it clear and what signals can be read, what can't. Because that is a thing.
It's trying to go off a body language. And you can't go off a body language.
Also,
I mean, I get that in an ideal world, consent would always be verbal and enthusiastic. But a lot of the time, you don't always say to someone, like, are we having sex? Can we have sex now? Are you okay with that?
Is that
a yes? And especially people you've already been with in the past. So that's, like, such an ideal thing
and
to try and
reach
towards.
And I'm 26. I can read those body movements.
Do you know what I mean?
You can read it. You can read the social cues. You can read the cues from someone. Whereas when you're a bit younger, it becomes more difficult. But I'm talking about
where there's not been...
It's not excusable, no. But I'm talking about where there's been a clear... breach of law, where it's someone that's older and someone that's much, much younger. Like, they're not being held to account.
You're talking about someone who's older and someone's younger. Again, that happens all the time within normal society, and that's something the police just
and
kind of...
And people are put on a register.
Yes, it depends on the age gap. I don't know what specific case you're talking about, but I think that happens in society, and so it's sort of like the defamation laws. You kind of have to prosecute everyone or nobody.
Or nobody.
You can't just go, well, this one's got lots of subscribers on YouTube, so we're going to uphold. And I kind of wish you could. But you basically have justified the entire Me Too movement. That's why it exists, because there is a grey area.
That's why it exists socially.
Exactly. And you have to be able to tear these people down from their platforms that they've built up, because it is a privilege, and it is something that you don't automatically have a God-given right to. And so, cool, I think we've come to a nice little conclusion.
And it is people that have to do that, because YouTube doesn't do it.
So I suppose, if anything, the Me Too movement doesn't make women look weak. It makes our police force and our
legal system look weak.
Yeah. Which is,
I'd agree with that. The fact that it has to exist socially makes the police and the legal system look weak.
So I guess it makes some women look weak, in the sense of the people that are working in the legal system that are women.
Yeah. Very possibly.
Yes, I guess, in a roundabout.
Okay. Did I just slightly agree with Lindsay Lohan?
You might have just agreed.
Turns out I'm the most controversial person on this podcast now.
Yay, problematic Jake. Anyway, you can let us know what you think in our Twitter polls at Educating Josh. It's time to move on to our next story. That is James's story.
My story. My story comes from The Daily Star, and the headline is, Movie Boss Leaves Door Open for Idris Elba to Be the First Black Bond. These are the three things Josh needs to know. Idris Elba could be set to take over from Daniel Craig as James Bond after producer Barbara Broccoli allegedly told
That's
an industry
great
pal...
Name.
Great name, by the way, Barbara Broccoli.
That is now my drag name. I'm going to dye my hair green and be Barbara Broccoli.
We're going to do this together, Jake. Barbara Broccoli allegedly told an industry pal that it is time for a black actor to claim the role. The Luther star has been in contention to play the part for several years, although several other actors are also rumored to be in the running, including Henry Cavill, Tom Hardy, and Tom Hiddleston. Current Bond author Anthony Horowitz previously came under fire in 2015 for saying that Elba was too street for the iconic role. The question I have for Josh is it time for a black actor to claim the James Bond role?
Firstly, audience. A resounding yes. 20 seconds, Josh. Go.
You're all wrong.
Wow.
Absolutely not.
I saw this coming.
Absolutely not. No,
why?
It's time for the right actor to claim the next James Bond role. He doesn't necessarily have to be black or white or green or purple or pink. Like, it will fit the role.
Thanos should be James Bond.
I think there's some amazing actors out there that could play that role. I think Idris is one of them. He's absolutely fantastic. But yeah, I think this kind of aligns with my thoughts on the whole strong female roles in film as well. It's like, the whole strong female role has become a stereotype. It's become its own stereotype. And have you ever heard of a strong male character? I'm going to write a strong male character. No,
every
I'm going to write
male character
a good
is a strong male,
male
character.
Every character, exactly. So it should just be, I'm going to write a really good female character. I'm going to write this character as and put a lead actress in there and make it amazing, not a strong female character. And it shouldn't be black or female or any of this. It should just be the person that's right. I think he's great. I think he's perfect for the role. But
and the rule generally in writing is write a good character and then assign a gender and race to them. Because those are just other traits. That you, like, you don't go, I'm going to write a good character with brown hair.
Well, unless that is very integral to the character. I guess that's for, like, reasons of, like, gender roles. Like, you, like, when you're creating a character, you assign them a gender, so you get, like, a pre-approved binary list of gender roles. You also write to them.
I think James Bond has other stuff to change before it changes the kind of lead actor as well. Like, Moneypenny, and that kind of, that's a bit misogynistic, and it's a little bit old now, and that needs to, I think, advance
a little
bit. I think
it's just a tired idea in itself.
Yeah, the whole...
I just think it's time to end.
Yeah. However, I once met a man.
Really?
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yes, I think you know where I'm going with this. I'm not going to say who this was, but there is a certain, well, quite a large section of the population of the country who sort of need to be dragged in the right direction, mm-hmm. I think. And that's exemplified in this story I'm going to tell you about a man who once said to me, James Bond can't be black because they didn't let black people into Eton. And also, there was a black guy in the last James Bond, so they should be happy.
So they should be happy.
And so that's not necessarily that I can tell you this person wasn't a hateful person. He was just ignorant. And he just doesn't understand. And so I would actually take issue with what you're saying, Josh, about, I would rework the question and say that it is time for a black James Bond, mm-hmm. because there should have been a black James Bond
ages ago.
No, there shouldn't. No, there shouldn't.
In that, if it was being fairly chosen by law of averages, there would have been a black... If we were picking our casting choices just based on the merit of the actor, would have been...
I mean, you say
they wouldn't have all just miraculously been white. We can't go only been good actors.
So then, what you're saying is because he was written white, it should be white. You're then agreeing with that argument as well.
Am I?
By extension,
I don't think you said that at all.
No, that's not what I mean.
Because he's written white. He's a white British.
No. If you're making a film and you just go right, we'll cast the best actor for this role.
So the best actor for that role, because of the way it's written, is white.
Yes. But over time, you got me there. Damn, that's where we get into this funny J.K. Rowling thing.
Oh, she should stay out of film.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to move us swiftly.
But why does the film have to stick to the book so heavily?
It doesn't. It doesn't, exactly. But that was what Luke was saying. So I was
well, it wasn't if you... what I was saying.
Because that's a general question.
I'm going to tell you it wasn't what I was saying.
Okay,
I'm
going
to tell you it wasn't what I was saying.
Okay.
What I was saying was, if we were picking based just on the merit of actors to play an action movie role, but let's be honest, it doesn't really matter what colour James
Bond
is.
Just on those things, yeah.
Yeah, then it would have been a black actor over the history of James Bond.
You say that, but I disagree, because you're saying this, like, ideally, statistics-wise, there would have been someone, but often that might not happen because you might not have enough people of colour auditioning for the role. Like, you might just not find the person, it might not be the right time, the right vibe. So, like, statistically, yes. But in reality, probably not. You're kind of like idealizing this idea of like equality and diversity within casting.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that it's guaranteed that someone would have come along and been perfect for that role and been black.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always likely.
Can I take a really cynical view on this? And say that I'm going to just keep saying that I do think it's time for Idris Elba to be James Bond. If you've listened to the podcast, you'll know that generally they actually get to the end and they all agree, and I go, well, I don't, but okay. So I'm going to take a really cynical way on this and say that actually James Bond doesn't exist to be a racial figure. James Bond exists to make money, unfortunately. And in terms of where the film industry is at and where the movie businesses are at, is all the movie businesses are basically clamoring to go, I'm inclusive, look, I've got to... While I agree with some of the changes that are being made... No, well, not necessarily.
Yeah.
But it is if they're making billions of dollars of profit off what people think is just reasonable morals. But from the point of view, from a cynical point of view of business, it sort of is time for a black James Bond, because That's what the market wants. I don't like that. I don't like that that's how all of our decisions are made in this world. But this is the system we live in, and it's capitalism. If you don't like it, then you're going to have to go and destroy capitalism, not just destroy James Blonde.
I mean, I'm definitely up for destroying capitalism. That's like...
Woo! Basically, destroy capitalism.
What about you guys? Because at the start of this, you thought there was a big, pretty big cheer of
very big yes.
Time for James Bond to be black. Now, having listened to our discussion, do you think it's time for a black James Bond?
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
So we're good at educating each other, but not good at educating
guys.
Our audience.
Brilliant.
All right, well, you can let us know what you think in our polls at Educating Josh on Twitter. It's time to move on to the last story of the week. That is my story. Is it weird when I turn into, like, podcast Luke? Yeah. It is weird for me as well.
It is a switch, isn't it?
So, my story this week comes from BBC News, and it is that Boris Johnson is facing a Tory investigation over his comments about the burqa. Here are the three things you need to know. Was there a hiss from the audience there? I heard a hiss. Brilliant.
I agree.
Boris Johnson has rejected calls to apologise after saying that people wearing burqas looked like letterboxes or bank robbers.
Letterboxes
or bank robbers in a newspaper column in which he argued against a ban on full face veils. Against? This is so confusing.
Yes.
Anyway, the former Foreign Secretary is facing an investigation into breaches of the Conservative Party Code of Conduct following his comments made in the Daily Telegraph last week. The investigation by an independent panel could lead to Johnson's expulsion from the Conservative Party. What do you think of that? Critics have accused Johnson of stoking Islamophobia to boost his Tory leadership ambitions, while supporters claim he was speaking up for liberal values. My question for you, Josh, is... was Boris Johnson wrong to make his comments about burqas? Firstly, audience, was Boris Johnson wrong to make his comments about burqas?
Yes!
20 seconds, Josh, go!
Again, I'm gonna disagree with
no.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so I think he's a political figure, he has a platform. Joking about it was wrong, that's ridiculous. But it's Boris Johnson. He seems to have got this like little niche now where he's allowed to be a bit of an idiot and get away
what
with
do you
it.
Mean now? He's had that for about 200
okay.
years.
Boris Johnson has a niche where he's able to be an idiot, a little bit like you, and get away with it.
Yeah!
It works. but actually getting into whether or not to ban the burqa, I kind of agree with it in a... did you know you can't walk into Tesco's with your hood up?
Yes, I do.
You're not allowed to go into a bank with a helmet on.
Yes.
The burqa's
yes.
banned in Mecca.
Yeah.
Like, it's you know, there's not a lot of information out there about actually what this is, and we're quite ignorant on where it is used. It's not even the religious clothing that is worn. It's the hijab, I believe, that is what's allowed to be worn, which is open-faced, and it's a wrap that goes around the head. And then there's the next one, which allows the eyes to be seen.
Sorry, we're just getting some angry looks from somebody actually wearing religious garb. Do you want to come up and explain this for us? Please do.
Yes!
Fix our ignorance.
Okay, I'm about to literally get schooled.
Okay, sorry, yeah, can we just, we'll all just go.
Hello.
And maybe Josh and you can have an argument. This will be great.
Really?
I like this.
Inform me.
You can wear the hijab or the burqa. It's not, you have to wear this, you have to, like, it's a choice.
So you can wear either?
Yeah, you can wear either. Like, my aunties wear the burqa, but my mum wears the hijab.
Okay.
Like, it's a complete choice.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How much of it is male oppression for wearing the burqa?
What do you mean?
In terms of them trying to hide their wife. Because that's something that I hear a lot. It's like, it's men trying
to
hide their wife.
It's not hiding a wife.
Or hide
I'll let you explain.
Like, sexually hide someone or hide their characteristics
I'm confused.
My understanding is that part of wearing the burqa is about being committed to the person that you're with, your partner, in public.
I get that.
Okay.
What you may be saying is maybe correct scripturally, I don't know. But as for why people wear, there are lots of different reasons why. So is it maybe similar to how somebody wears a cross? Is it like a public display of your religion?
It's a choice,
yeah.
If you want to wear it, then you can. If you don't, you don't. Like, I think my auntie wears it because she's like committed to her husband and she doesn't want... Well, my auntie's really religious, like in a
so
scary
it is about,
way.
It is commitment
my
to your husband.
My auntie's scarily religious, so like with her it's different. But like my mom chose not to wear one because she doesn't like really want to. And like, I know a lot of people in other countries, they wear it to like prevent other people. But the thing is, whether you show your face or not, it can still happen.
Yeah. Okay. So it is. It does stem a little bit from commitment to your part. To your partner.
Yeah, like just a little bit.
So I haven't grown up with that culture, so I disagree with that entirely. I'm not comfortable with that idea.
Opinions.
My opinion, So what do you think about when you walk into what I'm talking about, like the fact that you can't walk into a bank with a helmet on?
I do have a separate opinion on that. So the difference there for me is walking into a bank with a helmet on, you have no purpose wearing a helmet inside a bank. Because you need to be able, like, there's no reason to wear a helmet in a bank. You're not going to be struck over the head with something. There's also no reason to have a hood up when you're in a shop because it's not going to rain on you.
There's no rain.
And so the intent as to why somebody may have put, on average, why someone might have a helmet on in a bank or why someone might have a hood up in a shop is because they were trying to conceal their identity.
Yeah.
Whereas the reason you're wearing a burqa when you go into a bank is because you were already wearing a burqa. Like, sorry, I don't know what your specific... what is yours a burqa?
No, mine's a hijab.
Sorry. So the reason you're wearing a hijab if you go into a bank is because you were already wearing a hijab. And so you're not going to...
Religious practice and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
And your intent wasn't to hide your identity. Now...
But it still does.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that it still does hide your face.
That is
and that's
true.
What prevent.
And the argument that is generally used then is, well, somebody who wants to get away with something, because they can't get away with wearing a hood or because they can't get away with wearing a helmet, will then put on a religious garb to hide their identity, which I would argue, if they want to hide their identity to do something awful, they'll do it somehow. They'll cover their face. They'll just wear a balaclava.
No, but if you walk into a supermarket or a bank with a balaclava, you're going to get noticed a lot quicker than if you're wearing a hijab, I believe. You could walk around freely.
That's true. But
the
majority
you walk in.
I would say as close to 100% as possible of the people who walk into a shop in a religious garb are not there to rob, but they would be if they were wearing possibly a helmet because you don't need a helmet inside or a hoodie because you don't need a hoodie inside. Mm-hmm. Whereas you do need to continue, or if you wish to, continue respecting your religion. Just because you're in Tesco's doesn't mean you suddenly God's gone, does it?
Okay, I think to clarify my opinion then, I think walking around in public, in the streets, absolutely. Anywhere where hiding your face is restricted, it should be restricted as well.
All right, audience, are you happy with that? Yeah? No? No, bit of a mix.
I just think Boris Johnson shouldn't make, just stop making jokes, really.
Thank you so much for joining us. What was your name?
Maria.
Maria, thank you so much for joining us. Big round of applause. Woo! I think you may have done more educating of Josh than we have done in the entire series. You can let us know what you think over on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the quick fire round from our audience at Summer in the City. Okay, cool. Who has a thing they want to talk about?
The rapper XXXTentacion, recently he was found not guilty of sexual assault charges, but he's dead. And therefore a lot of people saying, no, he wasn't guilty. However, he's dead, so he can't testify. What's your opinion?
I mean, he's dead. He's kind of got his just desserts if he did it, hasn't he?
All right, then. I mean, fair enough.
The guy's dead.
That's an answer, I guess. Next one.
Is that a bit mean?
Yes, but yeah. It's a quick fire round.
Where do the scales go, like death?
I mean, no, I do agree. Like, I sort of agree in that... Actually, for his, it means there's no closure for the person who he may have done this to.
Yeah.
And that sort of sucks for the, it's horrible for the person who was possibly assaulted. He was also dead. So from his point of view, like, he's dead, whatever.
Hello. In Cornwall, it's been hit by tourist overcrowding, like on beaches and things like that. Do you think that in like popular cities and places, people from the countries who say like British people should be given, I don't know what the word is, like over tourist, do you know what I mean?
I'm from Newquay,
Cornwall's lovely.
Newquay's absolutely great. I think everybody should be able to enjoy the beach. Like, I don't like the kind of club stag culture that exists in Cornwall. Like, lots of clubs and stag nights and hen do's and stuff go down to Cornwall, and that's the kind of gross bit about it. I think that people that leave litter on the beach shouldn't be allowed to go back to the beach. That's really, really annoying. Yeah, you should have like a beach pass. So, you know, you get 3 offences and then you're never allowed to the beach again. But no, I think...
Banned from the beach.
I think people...
Who would police that?
Me.
The beach police.
Me, I would police that. But no, I think people from the city should be able to go to the coast as much as anyone else. As long as they treat it with respect.
And treat the residents with respect.
People can be quite arrogant.
I think people who aren't locals should be given priority over locals, because locals have access all the time, and people who aren't don't. So I think you should have the priority.
I don't agree with that.
No, I agree with it. No, I come from a very beach tourist town. I come from Bournemouth, and like I don't really care about the beach. Like I go there all the time. I would rather somebody who's travelled from
London.
Come
down and trash it and leave.
Oh, I mean it's really annoying. I hate it. I don't go out in my hometown in the summer because it's impossible to move.
Yeah.
But I would rather like they got priority because they've travelled down. They've spent money doing this. I spend like a couple of quid to get into town, and then I go home when I want. These people are like committed to being there, so I guess go ahead, have fun. Yeah. As long as you're respecting the place and not littering.
Quick fire round, guys.
Is this a Sunday
quick
catch fire
round. We have opinions, Luke.
No. Okay, last question.
The BBC apologised to former China editor Carrie Grace over unequal pay. Do you believe the wage gap exists?
Do you believe the wage gap even exists, Josh?
Oh, I can be really controversial here. So my day job, the company I work for as a day job is a big media conglomerate in the UK, and they just released their gender pay gap report, and it's disgusting. It's one of the worst in the industry. And it is an absolutely massive issue. The problem is that it doesn't exist in the lower or middle tiers. It's right at the top. It's the execs. It's people that are on £500,000 salaries with, you know, £1 million bonuses. That's where the biggest divide is. There's a massive lack of female representation in those levels. So it 100% does exist. And it's one of the biggest parts of feminism that I completely agree with. It just needs to happen now. Like, just stop talking about it. Just do
all right, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for listening to this. Sorry, this is a bit I really suck at. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh live from Summer in the City. Yeah, I got to do it one last time. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Educating Josh, where there'll be polls and content from each of today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We'd also love for you to send in more questions for next week's quickfire round. Please subscribe, and most importantly, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Educating
Bosch.
Josh. Thank Educating Josh. Josh. Goodbye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to. Courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.